morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in just a moment, all things political. George Waller will join us, a frequent guest on this show, professor of political science at UW Fox Valley. We have so much to talk about. I think it's amazing. People have been sleeping overnight to get a seat for the Supreme Court hearing since last Friday. That's a huge issue that they will be looking at for 3 days, and we will talk with our guest about the political significance of that. The Trayvon Martin case, Stand Your Ground, that legislation, which has also been enacted in many states in the country, is getting a closer examination. Robocalls are starting in the state of Wisconsin with a primary a week from tomorrow. Louisiana had its primary over the weekend. Just a few of the issues we'll be discussing with George Waller, and we'll do that momentarily. This is, of course, the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me. And you, of course, get a lot out of Wisconsin Public Radio, no matter when you listen. This hour is always all things political, one of my favorite hours of the week, because we get to talk about the big issues of the day and hear what you have to think about them. Today, we're asking for you to put something back in. We count on listener contributions to pay for just about everything we do. So your gift now keeps the programs that you value, including this program, on the air. Make your contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kathleen. Last hour, the goal was 60 pledges, and we heard from 18 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Now, our goal is to get 45 pledges by 10 o'clock. Meeting this goal helps make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money we need to fund the programs you rely on. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us meet this goal.
I'm sure there are many times you've been listening to the Ideas Network and you heard something that stopped you in your tracks. Something you found that was really interesting. We strive every day for programs that engage your brain, programs that affect your life. And this kind of radio doesn't happen anywhere else, and it only happens with your financial support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have something very special going on this drive. Pledge any amount, and you'll be entered in a drawing. It's a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding area with WPR host Larry Mueller. Find out the details and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, George Waller will be joining us. We'll look at the health care bill that the Supreme Court is examining. We will talk about the primary in Wisconsin, and we will look at the recall effort in Wisconsin, the Trayvon Martin case. It's a real busy time in the news. He will be joining us to talk about all of those issues. And discussions like these are really possible because of your financial support. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving could not be easier, either at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We just need your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
You can save time and money and use a credit card if you can, or you could sign up for this automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. You can choose how to give, then you just do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You'll enjoy a WPR pledge-free after 1 o'clock this afternoon, but to make a pledge-free afternoons possible, we need to pull together during these morning hours. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps keep this pledge drive efficient. Thank you in advance.
Yes, thank you so much. We still need 45 pledges. We got a ways to go here in the next, how many minutes?
About I'm bad at this. 55 minutes.
Thank you. That was very good, Lisa.
Thank you.
So please help out now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And another thing, I think this is a good way to go for this hour because it's kind of a policy thing that you can do in a way. If you give $120 or more, you can request food for 40 as your thank you gift, providing meals to those who need food in your area. It's a good thing to do.
And last year, Wisconsin Public Radio listeners gave more than 71,000 meals.
That's wonderful.
It's amazing. So let's try to do that again.
For your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London in the vicinity. Get the details. Enter now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Karen, who's a member from Platteville, says, I've been listening since 1982, and I'm still listening. Thank you, Karen. We have another donor from Somerset, Wisconsin, who says, WPR, it gives me real news and information that I use for all aspects of my life. I love the science and technology shows. Thank you to Karen, and thank you to all our donors.
Thanks so much, Lisa. We will chat with you later. Our lines are open for your pledge, 888-202-2552. Think about all that we've talked about during All Things Political and pledge for this hour. It would be a good thing for you to do. We, this hour, have a lot to talk about with Professor George Waller. He is professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Fox Valley. And we should say that he was named the recipient of the 2011 Instructional Academic Staff Award for Outstanding Contributions to Political Science Education in the University of Wisconsin Colleges. He teaches American government, public policy, campaign, and election analysis. We have a lot to talk about with him. Our on-air number this hour is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, for you to join our All Things Political discussion. Professor George Waller, how are you?
I'm just fine, Kathleen. Pleasure to be with you.
Very nice to have you with us, as always. Let's start with the Supreme Court. I can't believe people camped out since Friday and stayed overnight in the rain.
Wow, it's amazing how these kinds of things can pull people out and get them excited. Obviously, a lot of activity going to happen with respect to the Supreme Court's decisions on some of these issues.
Yeah. It's 3 days of hearing. There are political implications for this as well, aren't there? We, of course, are in an election year. If parts of this bill are deemed to be unconstitutional, what does it do for the president's reelection chances? Then you got the whole question, can one part of it be deemed unconstitutional without the whole thing falling apart? It's fairly complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, there are certainly political implications for President Obama. You know, many of these questions have been brought to the court, have been challenged by states with Republican majorities in the legislature and in the governor's position. So there clearly is that partisan element here that is before the Supreme Court. But there are basically four big questions the court is going to begin looking at when it begins its hearings. One, of course, is whether or not those challenging the law can be barred from making any legal or constitutional claims until that key provision, the individual mandate, actually goes into effect in 2014. So it could be the court's going to begin hearing on Monday with 90 minutes of oral arguments. It could be that the justices of the Supreme Court could essentially say we're going to delay any decision on the constitutionality of the individual mandate until 2014. When that mandate actually would go into effect. So that's one possible way that the justices might skirt the overall big issue, which is, of course, that individual mandate issue.
Has there been enough examination of, is it intrastate commerce? Is that the part of the law that they're looking at? Has there been enough precedent here to lead us to believe that they're going to go one way or another on this decision on individual mandate?
Yeah, you know that the Commerce Clause, of course, is an Article I of the Constitution that gives power to the Congress to lay and collect taxes, to pay the debts, to regulate commerce among the several states. And generally speaking, the court has very broadly interpreted the Commerce Clause. And so no federal court, for example, has ever ruled that states have been unlawfully coerced when they accept conditions or strings attached to federal funds. And even in 1987, the Supreme Court affirmed that kind of congressional discretion. So it would be a very significant change in the court's interpretation of the Commerce Clause if it were to include that in its reasoning in this particular case on health care.
Mm-hmm. Now we wonder why a single-payer system was so highly contentious in this country. Look at what's happening over this bill.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Indeed. That's always been a controversial sort of issue with health care. But clearly this attempt to try to do it by half, if you will, is obviously something that has led to a significant contention, partisan contention.
Do you think, Professor Waller, that the president has done a poor job of selling this legislation?
Well, you know, I think that was part of, obviously, what was under discussion when he originally took it on as a high priority early on in his administration. And there were some concerns that were raised by many that he was insufficiently selling the whole reform issue. I'm not sure whether, you know, in this country you can do much other than what we've done so far, and I'm not sure you're ever going to have a situation where any kind of reform on health care, whether it be something like what we currently have with the law, or whether it's a single payer, is ever going to be something that's going to be able to be sold to a very skeptical American public, particularly in as much as it has become so partisan.
Mm-hmm. It still is a rather complicated bill, isn't it?
Oh, very complicated. There's, what, I think 2,700 pages,
oh my gosh,
450 provisions in it. So it's extraordinarily complicated.
Yes. And for those who are deeply, and there are many who are deeply opposed to this, including all of the Republican presidential candidates, what is it about the bill? Is it being told by government that you have to have health insurance that has a lot of people up in arms?
Well, you know, that, of course, is the critical provision. The individual mandate is clearly the key issue, you know, that all Americans will be required to purchase some form of health insurance beginning in 2014 or face financial penalties. And from the point of view of those who are obviously opposed to that, the idea is that individuals would be forced to buy a commercial product that they don't either want or need. From their perspective, it just gives the national government, from their perspective, much more authority and power over the lives of individuals than they feel is warranted.
Let's. We certainly invite our audience to call in on health care, and we do want to remind all of you that tonight at 7, the Ideas Network will be bringing you the NPR News special coverage of the Supreme Court hearings arguing the constitutionality of the Affordable Health Care Act. Jennifer Ludden will host the daily wrap-up with highlights of the day's argument. Those will continue tomorrow and Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about the Trayvon Martin case, the Stand Your Ground law, which is receiving increased scrutiny because a number of states have similar kinds of laws. What do you make of this case and the huge number of demonstrations that took place over the weekend?
Well, you know, it certainly is a tragedy that a young man, African-American man, who apparently did nothing illegal, was confronted by this security worker. And we don't know exactly what happened, whether there was a scuffle, who initiated what, or how the gun was discharged. Of course, all those questions yet remain. But it clearly has brought into question these laws, these stand your ground laws that allow someone to use deadly force in an effort to protect oneself for self-defense. What of course is under investigation and is certainly something that needs to be examined more closely is just exactly what did occur in this standoff or this confrontation between Trayvon Martin and the security guard. Clearly, it's something that has brought into clear perspective a lot of these kinds of things. You saw just here in Wisconsin, for example, the demonstrations in the Sheboygan area, I think it was Sheboygan area, about the castle law, where people are allowed to use deadly force to protect their property, where mm-hmm. unfortunately the young man hiding on a porch was shot and killed by a homeowner. And so these things clearly are making the news, and they're highlighting the the real consequences of the use of force in those kinds of situations.
And let's look at the primary before we go to phone calls, because we're getting a full bank here a week from tomorrow. A couple things. One is that we've heard from the mayor of Milwaukee that he will make a decision when he hears from the Government Accountability Board about whether or not the recall will definitely proceed. Do you imagine that he will get in the race? How do you think this is going to shake down?
Boy, you know, it's hard to say. Barrett has certainly been holding his cards close to the vest on this. You know, of course, there's been lots of speculation early on that Tom Barrett would represent a strong challenge to Governor Walker. You know, he was, of course, the Democratic candidate when Scott Walker was elected governor. And a rematch on that would clearly be something that I think would cause many to perk their ears up and pay a lot of attention. I think it also reflects to some degree, I don't know, a little bit of trepidation and dissatisfaction on the Democratic side with the current announced candidates. I think there's always been some concern about whether Kathleen Faulk can win a statewide election. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I have no idea what Tom Barrett is going to do. If I were to trust my gut, I would say that he's probably very seriously considering getting into the race. And once we hear from the Government Accountability Board, it would not surprise me at all to find that Tom Barrett has announced his candidacy.
Do you think any, and if so, who of those candidates could beat Scott Walker? Or would it be a tough election?
Oh, I think it's going to be an extremely close election. It would be very, very hard to predict at this point who would win. You know, a lot of polls have shown that Walker seems to be in a fairly good position with respect to Faulk, but even that would be a very, very close race. I'm not going to put myself out on a limb on that one until I see a lot of what happens as we get closer and closer to that actual race.
Yeah. And the robocalls have started. I don't give money to candidates because of what I do, but I'm getting them at my house, for heaven's sake.
Oh,
I get it for the Republican primary next week. These are negative. These are pretty negative.
Yeah, it's gonna. Yeah, and you're gonna get more and more and more of them as we get closer and closer to the date. You know, this is the age of robocalls. This is the age of unlimited spending by, you know, all kinds of groups, even out-of-state groups that we're already beginning to see even in the governor's race. And it's just, we're going to be bombarded this entire election year, more so than we've been even in the past.
Yeah. All right, let's go to phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Professor George Waller is our guest, one of our favorites, professor of political science at UW Fox Valley. We've covered health care with Trayvon Martin and the recall of the governor in Wisconsin who's likely to run, and the primary in Wisconsin, and there are other issues, I'm sure. One line is open if you would like to join. A particular plea to those of you who love politics and listen regularly to this hour, please support this hour, because we've been, I think, informing you for years and years and years now, and it's an important political year. Our pledge number, 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. To your phone calls, Diane in Milwaukee first. Hi, Diane.
Oh, good morning. I was thinking that if we don't want to be forced to buy a commercial product from an insurance company that gouges us, why don't we have Medicare for everyone, Part E Medicare for everyone?
Well, that's, of course, an interesting question. What it essentially would be a form of single-payer health care coverage. And I think, you know, there's a good deal to be said for that. But again, I suspect that would be highly controversial, and we saw the difficulty of even advancing that kind of an idea through the Congress of the United States when the Health Care Affordability Act was first introduced. So again, I'm not sure politically whether something like that is viable, at least at this point.
Thanks very much for the call. I can remember not that long ago, Professor Waller, when we were gathering people, we did a year-long series on healthcare reform, people from businesses who were concerned about co-pays going up, people who were concerned about the number of uninsured, everybody at the table saying this system really needs to be fixed. And then we get something that somewhat fixes it, and look at the uproar. It makes you wonder, what's going on here? Is it just partisanship? Is it that there are significant problems with this law? Why in the world does it remain so contentious?
You know, I think everybody has reached the conclusion that the healthcare system is currently broke. We cannot continue to see the kinds of dramatic rises in healthcare costs. We cannot continue to see the kind of cost shifting that occurs. It's just simply unsustainable. While everyone recognizes that, in principle, when you get down to the brass tacks of actually putting together something to deal with it, that's when we see all kinds of contentious issues arise. And I think part of it is that, you know, it is a very complicated and difficult issue to tackle. And while it's something that people can agree on in principle that needs to be fixed, when you get down to actually working with it and dealing with it, it can so easily be politicized in a way that causes people to turn their attention away from the real complexities of the issue to something that can be sort of easily summarized in a kind of slogan or bumper sticker politics.
Right.
And that makes these things become partisan, makes them easily manipulated, used to sort of manipulate the emotions of people one way or another. And I think that's unfortunate. I think we need a much more sober, less partisan, if you will, and real hard look at what we're going to do about this issue, because it's not going to go away, and it's not going to get any better, and it isn't going to fix itself.
Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I've got a don't miss article from the Sunday Chicago Tribune called Change the Subject on page 20 by Eric Zorn. And he has two articles within it. It's hooked on fear, message of no hope, which relates to the Republican tactic of using scaroing to hook people up on fears. And then a second article, which is we're less bigoted than the Deep South. And in that article, relating to racism, he points out public policy polling. Mississippi, 52% of the people think that Obama is a Muslim, 36 aren't sure. In Alabama, 45 think he's a Muslim, 41 not sure. And even in Illinois, 39% think he's a Muslim and 37% say they're not sure. And in addition to that, in the article, he cites that in spite of the fact that it was settled in 1967 and in terms of interracial marriage, 29% opposed in Mississippi, 21% in Alabama, and 16% in Illinois. And so it's really sad that we're so far behind and that we have so many people that are subject to propaganda that appeal to racism as a scare tactic to divert them from the issues at hand.
You know, I think you could probably do a survey like that in any state in the country, and you'd find those kinds of figures. And it is alarming. It seems to me that it's obvious that we have not done a very good job at all in this country of providing education to people about these kinds of things. I mean, it's 2012, and you would think that in 2012, a lot of these things we would have had a population that would have grown up and would have been educated and would be understanding about these kinds of things. I mean, for heaven's sake, the idea Obama as a Muslim, that this would still be an issue, is just astonishing to me. And I think it goes to a kind of glaring ignorance in so many places that I find just astonishing and in many ways disheartening. I think we've got to become much more intentional about providing our citizens with a much higher quality of education. And, you know, part of it is, as the caller in the article suggests, the tendency of politicians to use those kinds of slogans and those kinds of manipulation of symbols and the manipulation of fear, which is just rampant in our political campaigns, in a way that I think really does our nation a disservice.
Yeah, we should be so much better than that. Look what we did. We elected an African-American to be president. And it is, at that moment, a lot of people thought, well, we've transcended a whole lot, and now we look and say, maybe we haven't.
Yeah. You know, again, I do want to say that I think, you know, we have made significant progress in this country from where we have been. But it is alarming, and it is somewhat troubling that there are these pockets of deep,
yes,
abiding ignorance that I think are really problematic for us.
Yeah. Ignorance is the correct term. Let's welcome more phone calls. Here is our phone number. We're interested, too, in hearing a call. Somebody call in about the recall and what you think about how the race is shaping up and who you would like to have enter and who do you whether or not you'll think it will be a close race. And, of course, a call on the upcoming primary. Are you getting a lot of robocalls as well? Our number is 800-486-8655. Professor George Waller joins us this week for All Things Political, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Fox Valley. We have some business to take care of, important business as well. It's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me, and the goal of the campaign is pretty darn simple: to raise the funds we need to pay for the programs that you listen to, because you value public radio. Please take care of public radio and do your part by contributing now. Here is how you do it: WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 41 pledges in the next 27 minutes or so. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As you know, on the Ideas Network, you hear a variety of viewpoints from so many different guests. The effort that goes into providing all these conversations is phenomenal. And listeners bring a unique perspective to the conversation. When you hear yourself saying, yesterday on WPR, I heard, well, you know, it's time to make a pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rather than receiving a book or CD as a thank you gift, you can do something extra special. Give $120 or more and select Food for 40 as your thank you gift. We'll take what we would normally spend on a book or CD and give it to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you remember listening to WPR as a child, or maybe your children really enjoy certain programs.
Whether it's an interesting story on WPR News or laughing along with the weekend shows, WPR caught your imagination as a child, and it engages the minds of children today.
And you make all of that possible when you participate as a member. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Becoming a sustaining member to WPR is truly giving the gift that keeps on giving. As a sustainer, your membership will never expire.
And your monthly deductions from your bank account or charges on your credit or debit card will keep on going until you ask us to stop. Give, please, the gift that keeps on giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We need 40 more pledges in the next 25 minutes to meet our goal. Help out right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do something great for others and for yourself. I love this idea of giving $120 or more. And you can request Food for 40 as your thank you gift. And, of course, we thank you for your gift to us as well. You will be helping those in need in your area. And you'll also be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding area for a pledge of any amount. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dennis from Combined Locks told us, for decades, we enjoyed everything about WPR, but did not support. We eventually felt compelled and financially capable to offer our support. Since then, the enjoyment that WPR provides us has tripled. Thank you for all that you do. So join Dennis. Become a member right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Lisa. Professor George Waller, our guest, All Things Political. You always hear on Mondays at 9 o'clock talking about all the politics of the upcoming week and the weekend that has just preceded us. Linda in Wanakee. Hi.
Hi there. I'm going back to the health care debate where the people who oppose it say that, it's unconstitutional for people to be required to have health care, et cetera. I'm wondering how this stacks up against the provision in the Medicare Part D, which is a prescription drug coverage, that says that senior citizens who do not have what they call creditable coverage do have to pay a penalty if they can't prove that they have it. To me, it seems like it's the same thing.
Well, I imagine that provision obviously might be exactly the same thing. And clearly, if the individual mandate issue or the individual mandate provision of the Affordable Care Act is ruled ultimately to be unconstitutional, it would probably have that same effect with respect to the Medicare question. And I would imagine that that whole issue on Medicare could be brought before the court as well. I mean, this ruling that the court will hand down, should it choose to rule on that individual mandate issue, will have broad consequences, far and beyond just the specific implication for this piece of legislation.
And the decision, Professor Waller, is expected by late June, smack in the middle of a presidential election campaign. All of the Republican challengers oppose this health care law, and they promise that they will repeal it should they become president. What does this do for the campaign, for everybody's campaign?
Well, I'll tell you, it usually the court has been loath to involve itself in the midst of a political campaign with something, with a ruling on something that would have that kind of a monumental impact. It was a rather surprising for some that the court decided to take this question on when it did, knowing full well that if its decision would come down in June, it would be right, at the apex of the fall campaign for the presidency. It's going to be very interesting to watch what happens. We are in for one heck of a time in terms of a campaign if, in fact, the Supreme Court does rule the individual mandate to be unconstitutional or constitutional, for that matter, because either way, the court is going to face just outrageous sorts of opposition and demonstrations and whatever you may have. This is why I think it may well be the case that the court will, cite the Anti-Injunction Act and decide that those challenging the law can't really make any legal or constitutional claims until that key provision, the individual mandate, actually goes into effect. I imagine that's one of the reasons why that is the number one question that the court is going to start hearing oral arguments on. So, very interesting. Who knows what's going to shake out between now and then.
Do you know, did they have a choice? Could they have waited until next year? Why did they take this up in this election year?
Well, I think one of the reasons, obviously, is we've had a number of different rulings from different courts. Three federal appeals courts found that the individual mandate issue is constitutional. Another labeled it, unconstitutional and breathtaking in its expansive scope. And so that circuit split that we have just all but assures that the Supreme Court has to step in and decide the matter one way or another. The timing as to when, they're actually going to hear these arguments and announce their decision is what I think threw others for a loop, that, maybe the court could have waited and done this at a much later time and begun hearing oral arguments in the fall and not rule one way or another until after the presidential contest had been concluded. But they opted to do something different than that.
Yeah. You would think that somebody would have remembered 2000, right?
Indeed.
When they got in a bit of hot water about all of that. Evidently not. Linda, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655 if you'd like to join our on-air conversation. Somebody move us to presidential politics. That we got a primary in this state a week from tomorrow, and also to the status of the recall elections. Maybe you don't want to talk about it. I'm just thinking somebody out there probably wants to talk about it, so we'd like to hear from you. Randy in Green Bay, hi.
Hi, good morning. I'm just calling to voice my opinion. I believe I'm definitely opposed to the individual mandate. I believe it's unconstitutional for the simple fact that you're forcing individuals to buy a product that severely that most people do not want. And I believe because if this would ever be allowed to happen, I think that would open up the government to open up the gates and allow just more products, and it just be a snowball effect that where would the government stop from forcing its right upon the individual's rights and so forth, from forcing them to buy other products or forcing them to do other issues that they think whatever would be constitutional, even if the individual panel that would be of the 15 individuals, non-elective individuals, would be caring and making decisions for all people on their health care.
Professor Waller.
Well, you know, here's the issue. Everybody needs health care. Everybody uses health care. The question as to whether or not someone has health insurance to buy or to provide for their health care, or to provide to coverage for the cost of health care, is an issue here. I mean, what the Justice Department argues, and the logic of its argument against the idea that this is unconstitutional, that in fact it is constitutional, is that every single American will need medical care, health care, at some point in their lives. And because they do, because every single American will use it, needs it, has to have it, individuals don't choose necessarily to participate in the healthcare market. I mean, they're going to participate anyway. You know, in 2008, some $43 billion in uncompensated costs from millions of uninsured people who receive health services without insurance got transferred to insurance companies and then passed on to consumers who do have health insurance. It isn't, you know, the idea that people don't want or need health insurance. Of course they need health care coverage. It's a question of how is it paid for, and whether it's paid for by insurance or whether it's paid for on the backs of those who do have insurance, and those uncompensated costs from people who seek medical attention without any form of insurance get passed on to the rest. The idea of the individual mandate is that everyone must have some degree of health insurance in order to alleviate some of the burden of the costs of those who are currently uninsured that get transferred to those who currently have insurance.
Randy, thanks very much for the call. Jean in Wauwatosa, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi,
how
Jean.
Are you?
All right, Jean, you?
Good, thanks. I just wanted to comment on the recall.
Sure.
And I think we've got a really fine set of Democratic candidates, and the field should stay as it is. Nothing against Mayor Barrett. However, I just think Kathleen Falk has a really strong record in Dane County, and Malin Mitchell would be a very awesome lieutenant governor, and I think Mayor Barrett could concentrate on doing some really nice things in Milwaukee for once.
Professor?
Well, yeah, clearly we have someone here who is a supporter of Kathleen Falk, and there are many supporters of Kathleen Falk around the state. I think that Kathleen Falk would wage a very competitive campaign against Governor Walker, and I think, you know, Mayor Barrett's entry into the race, whether he decides to or not, will clearly also signal a new direction.
And we'll have to wait and see. I will say this. I think that Malin Mitchell is probably a very up-and-coming a person to watch in Wisconsin state politics. I think he represents a real new face in Wisconsin politics that I think may have a very bright future.
And do you think the Democrats in the state of Wisconsin need to be grooming many more new faces?
Well, I think definitely that's part of it. I think, you know, it's interesting to me. I think there are other Democrats who potentially could have weighed in on this race or gotten involved in this race, and I'm not sure why they haven't. Peter Barca, for example, is someone who has been talked about as a potential candidate, and so far, of course, we've heard not much, at least from his office on that. But I do agree with you, Kathleen. I think Democrats need to sort of go out and really try to find and encourage a lot of new faces to run in Wisconsin state politics.
Well, you make an interesting point, Professor Waller, because a lot of Democrats would say this issue, this race, is of utmost importance to them. The partisan nature of what's going on in Wisconsin is unprecedented. So why is it that there weren't a number of Democrats clamoring to enter this race? What's going on?
Well, you know, politics has gotten to the point where I think a lot of people shy away from it because it's gotten in many respects pretty nasty, and a lot of people who may be very qualified and have a lot of good qualities to bring to a political race for a whole host of reasons, personal reasons and other reasons, just simply say the climate is so poisonous, the climate is so tough, and it's so contentious, and the sides are so bitterly divided that it just isn't worth it. And I find that, of course, unsettling and troubling. It's not only in Wisconsin politics, it's in other states and it's nationally as well.
It is very, very disheartening, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it certainly is, because I think it precludes then some really good people, some really qualified people who may have a lot to bring to the public discussion.
Yes.
It precludes them from even serious consideration of running for public office.
Gene, thank you so much for your call. We have time for maybe one or two more calls. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's All Things Political. Professor George Waller, Professor of Political Science at UW Fox Valley, is our guest. Our number is 800-486-8655. And you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, I don't know if you've had a chance to see, it was on Frontline in February, the documentary The Interrupters. It is, it'll knock you out. It's really powerful. And we will be speaking with two of the violence interrupters featured in this film. They use their own past experience, former gang members, both of them, whose fathers were really big gang members on the south side of Chicago. They understand the street, and we'll talk about what it means to understand the street and why, you know, you can kill somebody over money or over what's said to you. How does that develop? The person who put together this program believes that it's really a disease, and we need to look at it as we look at disease prevention. So they will join us, Amina Matthews and Kobe Williams, outreach workers for the Ceasefire Anti-Violence Initiative, hour two of the show. We have time for maybe a couple more phone calls quickly, 800-486-8655. Please remember, we love doing politics Mondays at 9. This is a pledge drive. I hope you like politics as well. The pledge number is 888-202-2552. Diana in Madison, hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that this question of, well, if we all agree the system's broken, why is it so hard to fix health care, really relates to a broader issue of valuing equality but refusing to give up any privileges that would allow us to move towards equality. We've seen this play out regarding issues of affirmative action where, yes, we should all be colorblind and everything should be based on merit, but we're not willing to give up anything that might be required of us to move from where we are now, a state of inequality, to reaching that goal that we all hold near and dear as part of American values. So I see this as resistance to dealing with inequality, and in the case of healthcare, it's largely class-based.
You know, I think the caller makes a really good point. It seems to me that at times in our past, when we've been at our best and we've done great things, there has been a sense, and it's been captured by politicians who have spoken to it and inspired people, that sometimes a degree of sacrifice in furtherance of the greater good is necessary. And it's always been, to me, you know, in our past, something that we have risen to, and we've been able to accomplish things by doing that. I don't know what's happened in recent times where any notion that anyone must sacrifice anything individually in service of a greater good has become so questioned and so unlikely to occur. This notion of entitlement, this notion of what's mine is mine and no one can take it from me, I think is in many ways really problematic for the possibilities of advancing the greater good.
Yeah. I'm glad you used that phrase, and that's a good ending point for us. The greater good. We need to think more of the greater good.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, always a pleasure to speak with you, Professor George Waller.
Likewise.
I thank you. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch again soon.
You bet, Kathleen. Always a pleasure.
George Waller, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Fox Valley. We first interviewed him, oh, I can't remember. Time goes by so fast. When we did the broadcast from Appleton, we had a really good time years ago. Not that many, but a few years ago, and he was one of our guests. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We are listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our spring membership drive. Lisa Nelvandian is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee, and we're here to raise money in support of programs that you enjoy on this station, programs like this one, All Things Political. Please make your gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The amount is up to you. But we appreciate every donation because every dollar you give makes a difference. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Well, we're looking for 27 more pledges in the next 6 minutes or so. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs you count on. Thanks if you've already given. If not, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Professor George Waller about state and national news. We have terrific guests. Rhonda has booked some great guests. Julian Zelizar, the amazing talker from Princeton. We've had Ken Rudin on frequently. We've had Clarence Page from the Tribune. Just a whole host of interesting guests. Please take a few minutes of your time to make this hour and the many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs that you enjoy every day. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make yourself feel extra good when you donate to WPR this pledge drive. Give $10 a month or more. And as a thank you gift, 40 meals will be provided to those in need through area food banks. Just choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like that one. That's a good thing to do. Very good thing to do. We want to let you know that listener support is such a big part of why this program is available to you right now. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to support non-commercial radio. If you can, consider a gift of $100 a month or more.
Your gift of $1,200 for the year will help pay for those who can't afford to support WPR right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now with your pledge of any amount.
You know, Kathleen, you have such a really special connection with so many listeners, and I have a little story to kind of illustrate that.
Oh, a little story.
A little story. A few years ago, you casually mentioned on the air, golly, we should go to Springfield. Wouldn't that be fun? Let's get on a bus and go to Springfield. And that's pretty much all you said. And within 15 minutes, we had a line of people on Katie Madsen's voicemail saying, hey, I'm ready to sign up to go to Springfield. There was no trip planned to Springfield, but we had this sense of interest and this spirit. So we planned this amazing trip to Springfield.
We went to Springfield.
We did go to Springfield. And just by you mentioning it, for 12 seconds, there is no trip to Springfield right now, so don't call. No. But so I think that just is such a powerful way to show your connection with listeners. So this is such a special program, and support it with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there are other trips going on. Everyone who pledges this drive will be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London, England. You could be the lucky winner. My mom won every contest she entered. That's an exaggeration, but she was a winner. If you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number to WPR England Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for how many pledges in the...
27 more pledges in the next couple minutes.
Okay, so please, let's get rolling in on those pledges, particularly for all things political. Giving just takes 2 minutes of your time, name, contact information, how much you want to give, how you'd like to pay. If you use a credit card, then you save time, postage, and paper. No matter how you choose to give, do it now. Take those 2 minutes, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Make your pledge of support right now.
Thanks, Lisa. And let's go to, where should we go? Just kidding. That may be coming up, though. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. We need you, and thank you very much. You don't want to miss the next hour. This was one powerful documentary, and if you want an understanding of violence in America, you will get it like you've never had it before coming up. So please stay with us. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour.